It was a Sunday evening, and I arrived home a bit late for me. There was a message on my answering machine, that's what we used back then, from my mother, telling me that my father had just passed away. I was in California, and he was in Illinois. I had seen him the previous Christmas. He had been going through chemotherapy then, and I had talked on the phone with him many times in between. For his birthday in August, one of the gifts I sent him was one of those giant 2-foot-high birthday cards, and he had gotten such a kick out of that he kept it up in his hospital room the entire time. And now he was gone. I began the next day to get the best flight out I could, called in to work to let them know I would be taking bereavement leave to return home, and began preparations. By the time I arrived in Illinois, my brother had already helped my mom to make many of the funeral arrangements, so there wasn't much to do. Within 5 days, we had conducted a wake, a funeral, and a burial, and I was on another plane back to California. There was so much unfinished work I felt I needed to do, but the person I needed to do it with was no longer here. 3 years later, this time, I was awakened at 3:30 a.m. California time by the doctor and my brother regarding my mom, who had been in the ICU for the past 30 days. The doctor was asking me to come. My brother was having a difficult time letting go and insisted on taking extreme measures that would do nothing but prolong her stay in the ICU, which had already set a record for length of stay there, and would not improve the quality of her life. Again, I arose and made arrangements for travel to St. Louis, where my mother was staying. But this time it was a bit different. I had a chance to connect with her that I didn't have with my father. When I arrived, my brother kept saying that she was improving, that if they just did this procedure or that one, she would get well. But when I spoke to the doctor, I knew this was not possible. And for the next 3 days, I stayed with my brother, talked to him about quality of life, talked to him about what our mother wished, even though she had never written it down. She was connected to tubes to perform every human function. And I knew, we had talked, that she did not wish this. So on the third day, he agreed to let her go. We stayed all day in the hospital that day with her. She was uncommunicative as the tracheotomy that was performed prevented her from speaking. At one point, my brother went to get us some coffee, and I found myself alone with her. And I knew that this was my moment to say goodbye. I took her hand, and I said, "Mom, I hope you forgive me for whatever it is you think I've done to hurt you, and I forgive you for whatever I think you have done to hurt me." And I held her hand, and even though her eyes were closed and she couldn't speak, I truly believe she heard me and understood me. My brother returned, and we began the waiting again. But I felt that I had been given and received a moment of closure and forgiveness. She passed away later that evening, so we never got to have a conversation again. But there is a sense of peacefulness that I received from my mother's death that I did not receive from my father's. That moment of forgiving, that moment of connection and repair, and knowing that we had never been perfect people, we had never said the things we meant to say, we had never had that mother-daughter relationship you see in the movies, and that it was okay, that we had done our best, And that one moment has sustained me more through the years than most of the memories I have of her. I've told this story before, and I tell it because for me, I waited so long to repair that relationship with my mother that that was the best I can do. I want others to know that it can become not too late to repair a relationship. As long as they and we are on this earth, there is time. After the death of both of my parents, I have periodically lamented not saying the things I wanted to say, not asking those questions I wanted to ask. That's where I feel the brokenness, where I can no longer have any repair. There have been moments through the years when I've wished I would have asked her more about her life before marriage, more about the things she thought about, experienced, achieved before she met my father and began a family. I don't know a lot about her life before then. And I always thought I had time. I had plenty of time to ask. But before I knew it, there wasn't enough time. When is it time to see those broken pieces in our life and to make an effort to repair it? There never seems to be the perfect time, and yet, isn't every moment in our lives the perfect time? To carry around the burden of hurt, resentment, pain, and anger is punishment on ourselves. For I bet that most of the time the other person doesn't even know we're carrying around this pain. And if they do know, they may feel as powerless over trying to repair the relationship with you as you are trying to repair the relationship with them. So there we remain in this impasse, no one making the effort to repair, pain and distance becoming the norm. How do we then create that moment to repair something that is broken? So much feels broken in our world today. Every time these last few days that I get on Facebook or Instagram, there is someone angry and pontificating about how they have deleted friends. So many memes have been created defining their sadness and anger over the election, and almost all of it has been divisive. We all understand the grief and sadness over this past election. And so many of us, I believe, don't know what to do next. We must grieve, that is a certainty. Maybe even taking ourselves through Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's 5 stages of grief. I feel like I've been through at least 3 of them. Well, actually, I've gone through 4. I'm still not into acceptance, the last one, and that is probably the hardest one. That shows, however, how much this past election has affected so many of us and our friends and family. I came across a poem by Reverend Dave McFarlane entitled "Practice Repair." Bless generously, curse rarely, practice repair. Read a book or a blog or watch a movie about something or some situation or someone beyond the ability to relate. Practice repair. Lean into comfort zones, strengths, and inklings of bliss. Practice repair. Pause to ask whether words are both skillful and absolutely necessary. Practice repair. Sing full-throated songs that create and recreate beloved community. Practice repair. Let go of stubborn self-righteousness and have mercy. Practice repair. honor the ancestors who could not have imagined our lives or even our very being. Practice, repair. Smile, practice, repair. Multiply joy, divide sorrow, practice, repair. With the tools at hand, practice, repair. Perhaps I have tools you could borrow. Perhaps you could lend me from yours. And together, we can practice, repair. Unquote. When I read that, what comes to mind immediately is that repair is a sacred act. It is an act of grace. It is a spiritual act. For our actions can change the course of how we treat one another, and this will show our repair more so than any words we can utter. In these times of uncertainty, in these times of despondency, we need to look to self-care and how we can repair what might be broken in us. I am an at-large member on the board of the Alternatives to Violence Project. And last week we held a gathering in Cambria of the AVP California region. Facilitators and coordinators in the state came together for a weekend of camaraderie and relationship. We were all sad about the election. We could see it in each other's eyes, and yet we still did the work we needed to do. This organization will celebrate its 50th anniversary next year, and it was founded by Quakers. If anyone can bring peace into the world, I believe it is those of the Quaker faith. And we looked at how to repair our despondent souls and continue to do the work that is needed in our world. And we all know it lies in community. When I was ordained many years ago, I remembered this poem that I had included in my ordination by Starhawk that I will read to you now. It explains so much to me, called Community. Somewhere there are people to whom we can speak with passion without having the words catch in our throats. Somewhere a circle of hands will open to receive us. Eyes will light up as we enter. Voices will celebrate with us whenever we come into our own power. Community means strength that joins us. Our strength to do the work that needs to be done, arms to hold us when we falter, a circle of healing, a circle of friends, someplace where we can be free. Unquote. To me, that is the answer to all our problems today. Community. Within that word community lies communicate. At least I think it's buried in there anyway. Even when we went to bar the door and not communicate with others, not of like minds, that is when we need to communicate the most. So many of my friends are unfriending friends they've known nearly their whole lives, and that saddens me to no end. I have not unfriended a friend yet, and I hope I never do. The only way I feel that maybe, just maybe, they may hear me is to continue to post my views and attempt to enter into dialogue. So that morning in the hospital with my mother proved to be a profoundly moving experience and a tremendously healing one. I experienced it in the nick of time. But how amazing would that have been to have shared that moment with her in real time with both of us present. I waited too long with my dad. I never got to experience any kind of repair with him when he was alive. There were moments where I did try, but I never forgave him fully until after he had passed from this earth. I wasn't ready for repair. So one remarkable result of these experiences has been for me to not wait. Find those moments when you can screw up those courage muscles and open your heart. Find those moments when you can quietly sit, connect with the universe, feel those feelings, and then let them go. Two of the worst words in the English language for me are, if only. If only I would have. If only I could have. If only I did. I am grateful I had that moment with my mom and it was good. Now I feel I have two spirits to talk to when I need comfort. I feel closer to my parents now after they have passed away than I did when they were here. We were never close. We didn't have the kind of family that shared much. There's so much I didn't know about them and so much they didn't know about me. I can tell them anything now and feel their unconditional love. If ritual will help, then create it. If meditation will help, then do it. If prayer and solitude or making an appointment to talk to this person will comfort you, then make it. We begin to repair with our personal relationships, becoming right with those closest to us, and then moving out into the larger world. We can lay the foundation to repair those we don't hold as close. Take some time this week to identify what is broken in you and seek to repair it. Identify those relationships that may be broken and see if there is a chance for repair. There might not be. Some things are broken beyond repair. But I remain the eternal optimist. It just takes courage, mindfulness, and a spiritual act to repair. May it be so. Blessed be.